The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the days for Jesus being taken up were fulfilled, he resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On the way, they entered a Samaritan village to prepare for his reception there, but they would not welcome him, because the destination of his journey was Jerusalem. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them?" Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they journeyed to another village. As they were proceeding on their journey, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus answered him, "Foxes have dens and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head." And to another he said, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, let me go first and bury my Father." But Jesus answered him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to my family at home." To him Jesus said, "No one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I haven't said Mass in a month. I think it's been maybe last time I was here. I was away, and I attended Mass a couple of different places in Carlsbad, California, and then at St. Patrick's, I think it was, yeah. And then at the Mission San Luis Rey. It was very spirited. There's a lot of people from Guam there, and they had a choir from Guam, the Guaminians. A very moving experience I had there at that mission. Anyhow, so I've been thinking about this gospel and what am I going to preach upon for quite a while. So sit back. Don't relax, because I'm not going to let you relax. You know, none of the readings today are talking about the usual things that we talk about in church. In fact, you may even wonder what they mean. And Jesus is, you know, resolute going to Jerusalem. He's going to die. And then these people want to follow him. But then they have their doubts and they have their excuses. It's not easy to follow Jesus. Not easy at all. In fact, it could be because the actual things that we tend to emphasize in the church have nothing to do with what Jesus talked about. He's completely on a different level. And so is in St. Paul. In the second reading, Paul says, "For freedom God has set you free, and don't let anybody take away your freedom." And then, sounding like a relativist, which Pope Benedict wouldn't have liked at all, he quotes Jesus by saying, and he never quotes Jesus, but he quotes Jesus and he says, "The entire law and all of the prophets are summed up in love your neighbor as yourself." He says the law has no power over you if you are led by the Spirit. Now, if I said that without quoting St. Paul, some of you would probably write a letter to the bishop and say, "We've got this priest telling us that we can throw out the law if we are led by the Spirit." But those are Paul's words, not mine. Although I totally agree. But this shows that we're not in the same ballpark. We usually ask different questions. We're concerned about different things. Did you ever notice that most people who are interested in joining the church, becoming Catholic, or not maybe these days, you have more experience with them than I do, Deacon, but people who are joining other religions, they ask, what can you do and not do? You know, what does your religion forbid? What does your religion require of you? And it just shows that we spend most of our lives focused on obeying laws. And Paul says, it's not about obeying laws at all. It's about being led by the Spirit. Now, that's not as simple as it sounds. To be led by the Spirit is not to be led by one's ego, or to be led by one's own selfishness, or to be led by one's own self-interest, all of which Paul calls the flesh. He's not talking about the body when he says the flesh. He's talking about the ego, your own self-interest, your own selfishness. That's the flesh he's talking about, that's at war with the Spirit. And Paul sums up the entire law and the prophets by quoting Jesus directly. Now, he never, hardly ever quotes Jesus at all. But he does here, and he says, you must love your neighbor as yourself, that everything is summed up in that. Everything is summed up in loving your neighbor as yourself. And I think the reason why we go through life emphasizing other things and concerned about other things is because we really don't want to do that at all. I mean, it's not easy to follow Jesus, as I said. And let's be honest. Jesus never talked about contraception. Not once. Jesus never ever talked about gays and gay marriage. Not once. Jesus never talked about abortion. Not once. The things that we emphasize are not the things that he emphasized at all. And that's why readings like today don't make a lot of sense to most people. We would rather do other things than to love our neighbor as ourselves. We'd rather get concerned with other issues than those issues of loving our neighbor. I mean, just look at the typical attitudes of most Christians and Catholics towards refugees and immigrants. I mean, they tend to reflect the common consciousness of America, not considerably different than anybody else. I mean, we don't really love our neighbor as ourselves. We don't. I mean, Mexican or American, gay or straight, black or white, Christian or Muslim, based on our biases, we decide who we love. And if we look around at the attitudes of most Christians, they're not any different than anybody else. We have the same prejudices, the same biases, it seems, as everybody else does. We don't love our neighbor as ourselves. I mean, just take our borders, for southern border, for instance. I mean, it's totally unconscionable, immoral, what we're doing to children and to families. It's inhumane. Pope Francis called our current U.S. policy evil. It's easier just to, you know, kick around the poor, the refugee, and the immigrant, and the little one, like everybody else does. And most recently, most people were opposed to health care reform because they didn't want the poor getting any more of their money. And yet you can hardly go through two paragraphs of any of the Gospels without Jesus telling us to love the poor, the oppressed, the disenfranchised. So are we really a nation that loves the poor? Why do we have so much poor? Why are people, more and more people become poor and desperate? Are we really different because of the gospel? And if you doubt that, reread today's gospel. This doesn't sound like the way that we think. A guy asked, can I go and bury my father first before I follow you? And Jesus says, no. Let the dead bury the dead. I mean, if I said that again, you'd run to the bishop and say, well, what are you saying? Let the dead bury the dead. But those of you that are old enough, and there's some of you that are old enough, that they can remember prior to Vatican II, that, you know, most of the priests wore black vestments at Mass. Do you remember that? The great church had largely become a funeral society of requiem masses saving the souls of purgatory. I mean, if you go to religious houses and if you go to big cathedrals and other churches, they have these side altars, all these side altars, if you've ever seen it. Well, in big religious houses, they would have all these side altars. There'd be priests doing Mass at each one of those side altars. There might be 20 priests doing Mass in big places, all at the same time, not even having an altar server there, just offering Masses. Despite the fact that Jesus reminded us that religion is about the living, not the dead. But culture gets preoccupied with those who have gone on before us. And in turn, we reflect the same thing. But then Jesus forewarned us when he basically said, foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the human one has nowhere to lay his head. If you follow me, he says, you're not going to fit into any usual camp. You're not. The liberals don't make sense to you, and the conservatives don't make sense to you, and you're lost in the middle. You have nowhere to lay your head. And then he ends it by saying, no one who sets his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. My gosh. You see, you got to live right now. You can't be looking at the past. Either God and the gospel and grace are available to us right now, or we don't get it. But most of us reflect the biases and the hurts and the agendas and the fears of the past that we live over and over and over again. And that's what Paul calls in the second reading slavery. Most of us are slaves. There's no inner freedom. There's no inner life. Most of us are slaves, it seems, to our egos, to our prejudices, and our biases and fears. You decide who's in and who's out, who you like, who you don't like, who's legal, who's illegal. But in the kingdom of God, all people are equal. In the kingdom of God, all people are sacred. All people are God's beloved sons and daughters. In the kingdom of God is all the world. And so when you start deciding that certain groups are undesirable or illegal, then you're not a kingdom person. You're much more an American than you are a Christian. And despite the readings of these Gospels Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, we have remained satisfied with that kind of Christianity. It's much easier to live that kind of Christianity. Just be nice. God loves you. And so we've strayed from the Gospel and from the teachings of Jesus. We've strayed from those first Christians, you know, who in Luke's Gospel especially, he says, you know, Jesus is Lord. Not the emperor and not the empire is Lord, but Jesus is. Jesus is Lord. Not America. Not the military-industrial complex. Certainly not the president. You know, to follow Jesus means challenging and rejecting all forms of prejudice and racism, xenophobia, demonizing of others who are created in the image and likeness of God. We're called to care for the least among us. And that's where you're going to be judged when you die. according to Matthew's gospel anyways, at the end of Matthew, if you read his 25, about the sheep and the goats. When did I see you hungry and feed you? When did I see you without clothing and I gave you clothes? When did I visit you when you were in prison, when you were sick? And he says, when you did this to the least among me, you did it to me. Christ is in everyone. As Christians, we're called to seek unity and diversity. We'll never be united in this country politically. It's only through the Holy Spirit that can unite us. And I doubt that many are calling upon the Holy Spirit for that. But we're called to seek unity and diversity and to see the other as an extension of oneself, because that's who the other is. To be loved as God loves. I wonder what other priests are preaching about this weekend. Certainly not what this is, I'm sure, what I'm saying. But for either the gospel changes the world, which it seems like it hasn't, it either changes us, your mind and your heart, or it's not the gospel. You know, either it creates good news for the poor, as Jesus first put it, or in fact, sadly, it's not good news for all.